Award-winning poet and fiction writer Irene Lara Silva has published a handful of books, including the critically acclaimed Furia and Flesh to Bone, which received the 2013 Premio Aslan Prize. She is the 2014 recipient of the Alfredo Cisneros del Moral Award and the 2008 recipient of the Gloria Anzaldúa Milagro Award. She's an active member of the Macondo Master Writers Workshop and the 2010 Canto Mundo Fellow. Her writing has appeared in more than 50 journals and anthologies, including Acentos Review, The Worcester Review, and New Border Voices, among others. Her newest collection of poetry, Blood Sugar Canto, is recently released with Saddle Road Press, and we are delighted to have her as a guest on our show. Irene Lara Silva, welcome to Words on a Wire.
Thank you for having me. I'm so glad to be back on the show.
Absolutely. So you were on our show once before, is that right?
A couple years ago, right after Flesh to Bone came out.
Flesh to Bone, right. Wonderful. And that was a great book, too, by the way. And
Thank you. Maybe
we'll talk a little bit about that as well. But you're located in Austin, Texas, right? In Austin?
Yes.
Are you originally from there?
Actually, no. I was born to a migrant family. Mm-hmm. So my family migrated from the Valley to around the Corpus Christi area, to Baytown, to Bammon, Oklahoma, to New Mexico, to Hereford, and then back down to the Valley. So we did that whole route.
When you say the Valley, you're talking about the Rio Grande Valley down in South Texas.
Yes. Yeah, the Rio Grande Valley.
Whenever I say the Valley, I'm talking about the San Joaquin Valley in California. But yeah, they're different valleys. The Valley. So yeah, so you were saying that your family migrated quite a bit, and then somehow you made your way into Austin.
Yeah, well, you know, we considered the Rio Grande Valley basically our headquarters. And then, there was some graduating, and then there was some school, and then there was some wandering around. So now I've been in Austin for almost, it's been about 18 years.
Wow, 18 years. So you and I met the first time we actually met. I heard your name, I mean, years ago. But,
yeah, I think because we had a friend, Marisol Baca.
Marisol Baca.
When I first talked to you, talked to me about you. So, yeah.
Yeah, I want to say that was back like almost around like 2002 or 2003 when she first told me of your name. That was way back then.
Gosh, hi, Marisol. Marisol.
That's right. A shout out to Marisol Baca, you know. Yeah, and she used to talk about you as a writer, and she would always say you have to connect with her. But I never met you actually until just a couple of years ago. In Albuquerque, we finally met when your book, Flesh to Bone, won the Premio Aslan Prize there with the National Hispanic Cultural Center. And you invited myself and Lorianne Guerrero to read with you at the Bookworks in Albuquerque.
I'd actually never been to that bookstore before, and I fell in love with a cafe right next to it.
Yeah.
Gorgeous place.
It is a gorgeous place. And, you know, the audience was really sort of a very interested and genuine audience. And it was a great experience, you know, and, but going back quickly about your book, Flesh to Bone, you know, that was the first of your work that I had ever read. And it was just an amazing book. I mean, a very, very kind of a lyrical collection of stories. And in fact, in my current book that I'm just finishing up right now, the current manuscript I've been working on, I actually put one of the epigraphs taken from your book, Flesh to Bone, because it's just very, very
That's
just
amazing.
Profound
Thank
book.
You.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. Well, now you have this new collection of poetry, Blood Sugar Canto, which I love the title. Tell us about the collection.
Well, it was actually an idea this had never happened to me before. When I thought of this book, I actually thought of the entire book at the same time. Mm. It's just the concept for the book being at the end of 2010. Uh-huh. You know, at the time, I was trying to think, okay, well, what am I going to write about next? And I had decided to put away my first poetry manuscript, which never got picked up. And then I just had Furia published. So, you know, I was trying to see what I was going to do next. And I thought, well, you know, the next most pressing thing in my life to talk about is diabetes.
Right.
You know, at that time, I'd already been an insulin-dependent diabetic for 2 years, but I also had it in my family, my parents, and going back. And I thought, you know, to me, that right now, this is the most pressing thing for me to talk about. And at the time, I really hadn't seen that much work by other writers. I could maybe think of a few poems by Sherman Alexie that mentioned diabetes, and otherwise, I really couldn't think of any. And so I thought, you know, I want to write this book, this whole collection about it. And it was interesting because I kind of jumped into it and didn't realize how necessary it was going to be for me to write the book, because there were so many messages coming at me from doctors, from society, from people I knew, from people around me that were just so filled with fear, you know, fear of being sick, fear of, you know, consequences, fear of how, you know, the illness was seen, fear of everything, you know. life and all the things that came with it. And it was just this overwhelming inundation just of fear and fear and fear. And I thought, this something here is out of balance. Something here is out of whack. Right. There's no way that people can concentrate on their healing or on their lives if they're just so filled with fear all the time.
Right.
You know, that's not good for your spirit. And if your spirit's not in a good place, I don't know how anything else is supposed to work.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. You know, one of the things, I mean, you mentioned some of Sherman Alexie's, a few of his poems that talk about diabetes, you know, specifically. But, you know, at the core of the book, you know, diabetes is obviously one of the themes of the book. I mean, it's titled Blood Sugar Canto. But I felt like the book was also a collection of, you know, I mean, like you're saying here, about health, about our bodies, and about how fear is manifested in these ways, you know, through our body and in our health. I was trying to think of other either writers or even just collections of poetry that kind of, you know, at least touch on this, even if they're poems that are basically about the body. I think actually one of them that comes to mind right now is Miguel Algarín. He has another book called, I think it's called Love is Hard Work. And, you know, there are a lot of reflections and meditations that have to do with the body and also fear and love as well. But yours is kind of a different approach. But were there other writers or collections out there that you did look to that weren't necessarily about diabetes, but just kind of that have influenced your work in terms of writing about the body and fear and...
Specifically, none that I can think of. I mean, I know that there's different writers that you know, always come back to the body. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's lots of writers that deal with, you know, the importance of healing in the work. Mm-hmm. One of the most amazing essays that I can think of is one by Jeanette Winterson and her mm-hmm. collection on ecstasy and infantry, mm-hmm. Art Objects. That's the title. And she talks about the body's natural inclinations towards healing, but she also talks about the spirit and the spirit's desire to heal.
Right.
You know, if you think of Gloria Anzaldúa's work and what it is to be in a broken, diseased or ill place and then trying to reach towards, you know, wholeness or health. But no, I mean, I agree with you that yes, one of the main themes is diabetes, but in a way it is the vehicle to enter thoughts about all of these other issues. Because, and that's the thing too, people think that not just people, Western medicine thinks that the body's like a car, that you can take it into a shop and, you know, replace a filter or replace a tire or put in a new transmission and ta-da, you're done. And it's like, you know, bodies don't work that way. We're not just our physical beings, you know, we're our emotional and psychological beings. We are ourselves, we are part of our families, we're part of our communities, we're part of our ethnic racial group, we're part of our nation, we're part of the world.
Right.
So in that way, you know, I hope that the book starts to touch on, you know, what does it mean not just to be an individual, but to be, you know, a member of a family affected by not just diabetes, but by, you know, poverty, by lack of education, by limited geography, by indigenous access rate, you know, all of these things, everything always intersecting.
Right. There is an overt kind of, a subtle, I would probably call it a subtle kind of interconnectedness in the poems here and what you're talking about, how the poems, yes, on the surface, they look, you know, they're about the body and about illness and about, you know, these kinds of things, but also they are about being interconnected with everything else in the world and in this experience we call reality or life, you know. And one of the things that really attracted me is I have to call attention to the cover, which is a beautiful, talking of interconnectedness, the cover is this beautiful mandala. You have some really great cover art for your books, I have to say.
That is because of my brother. My brother has done all the cover artwork.
Oh, your brother's the artist?
He's the artist for all three covers.
What's his name?
Moisés Esolara.
Wonderful.
So he's the artist. And it's interesting because for Blood Sugar Canto, he had the idea of one side of our family, on the maternal side, we have a grandfather who was Huichol,
mm-hmm.
From around the San Luis Potosí area. Uh-huh. And so my brother looked to the inspiration of Huichol artistry and, you know, the different kind of the beadwork and the everything that artwork inspired him to do this piece. And then the cover of Butcher Canto is actually it's a small section of the painting. So the entire painting itself has the entire spiral. And the colors are just gorgeous.
Yeah.
I'm deeply grateful to him for these beautiful, beautiful covers that I've had.
Yeah, and you know, I'm going to just explain the, describe the cover just briefly for our listeners. You know, obviously they can't see it here. We don't have that kind of radio yet where you can just see the words. You know, but that's coming
Google
up.
It.
That's coming up
Google
soon.
Google the cover.
Yeah, that's right. Google the cover. But it's beautiful. It's vibrant, kind of primary colors, yellow and red, and you know, and it's like a mandala. It's done almost kind of in spots and dots, and so it's just a very, really vibrant color that kind of beams out at you. So, and I felt that that kind of spiritual quality to it that the poems have. So, and all those, I would say then that if you've been collaborating with your brother on all these past books, especially like Flesh to Bone, you know, the cover art really is just, I mean, it does, I think it's a great collaboration you guys have going on. So,
well, I mean, he's been my reader and my editor for a while. So if anyone understands what I'm trying to do, he always has.
Wow. So, yeah.
And he has the gift of visual artwork that I am completely backing in. I can do stick figures and that's about it.
So
it works out well for us.
You have the language and he has the brush. All right, that's good.
Oh, he's also, you know, he's also written some amazing poetry. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, I worked out there too. Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, no, I'm the dumb one. He's the one that's good at everything.
I've never heard of this publisher until this book, Saddle Road Press. Tell us how you ended up connecting with them.
They are actually a press out of Hawaii.
That's interesting.
And they're putting out some really interesting work. I mean, they are looking for, and it's sort of innovative and experimental and just out there, but also, you know, very spiritual and body-centered. And I mean, all the books are gorgeous that they're putting out. But yeah, it's Saddle Road Press out of Hawaii, run by Ruth Thompson and Don Mitchell. Right. And actually, I ended up finding them because Ruth Thompson reached out to me over Facebook. I initially was actually going to publish this book with someone else, but then ended up not working out.
Sure.
And apparently she knew me, or she knew of me, or and of my work through the Room of Her Own Foundation, which I was a finalist for one of the prizes a few years ago.
Oh, okay.
Because she read my work then, and then when she heard about this, she asked me to, you know, would I be, you know, willing to consider them? And they, you know, they loved the manuscript, and before I knew it, they'd whipped up this gorgeous cover, and we were on our way.
Yeah, because I remember just on your Facebook post seeing how you were shopping it around, and then suddenly, like, I mean, this thing was like a quick turnaround because it just emerged, like, out of nowhere suddenly. It fell from the sky, you know? It's like, that's awesome. But
yeah. I think that's what it looks like after I started in 2010, and it was, an intense couple of years of writing it, and then
three years
of sending it around and revising it and all the rest. But in the end, you know, it does feel like magic when it comes together.
Well, you know, too, that I think that's a testament to, you know, these smaller presses that are really taking risks and that are willing to take risks on, you know, I mean, obviously you've already had to establish a name for yourself in the literary community, but, you know, the subject you're writing about, which is, you know, very visceral, even physical poems, intimate, obviously, a subject matter that hasn't really been focused on enough, you know, diabetes, you know, for a publisher.
And it got rejected a lot of places.
Right.
I just sent it around a lot of places, so. Yeah. No, definitely. I think it is, you know, the small presses, and it is sometimes the presses that we as Latino authors don't think of reaching out to first that are very receptive to that work, which is, you know, not categorizable, or not easily categorizable.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely, because these poems transcend, you know, those kinds of delineations, you know, they really do. They are about the human body, you know, and as you said, fear as well. Is it hard? Let me ask you something here, because I know, again, because I even think back to your book, Flesh to Bone. Is it hard for you to write such bold, raw, even vulnerable poems like you have
it's
here?
It's extremely hard. You don't understand. I was going through my 3 years of Canto Mundo at the beginning of writing this book. And so a lot of Canto Mundo readings, I ended up reading these poems, and I ended up breaking down in tears at almost every single reading.
Wow.
And I was like, people are just going to think that's all I do is just go up there and read and cry. But that's what I have to do to get these poems out of me. You know, so no, not easy at all. But, you know, what is more worth doing than something really, really difficult that, you know, that I felt was something that I could give, even if it was going to be difficult to get it out.
Right.
So that's kind of the way I approach all work is if it's coming too easy, something's wrong. You know, I'm not really telling the truth, or I'm not really getting in as deep as I could go if it's coming easy.
You know, that's a real, that's a real bold kind of undertaking, or I would imagine process, you know, in writing these types of poems. One of the poems I recall to mind is the poem Grace, where as I remember it, a female doctor takes, you know, is looking, taking your, well, you know what? Would you mind reading the poem for us rather than me explaining it? All right, great. If you're just tuning in with us, we are speaking with the award-winning poet Irene Lara Silva about her latest collection of poetry, Blood Sugar Canto, and she's going to read one of her poems in there called Grace.
Grace. Another examining room. The young physician's assistant walks in, greets me, glances over my file, puts everything down. Let's take a look at your feet to start, she says. I bend down to take off my shoes, but she stops me, kneels down. I apologize for not having had a pedicure for my unpainted toenails. She waves away my apologies and takes my right foot in her hands and carefully removes the shoe, then the socks. She holds my foot carefully and asks me to close my eyes. Do you feel this? She asks. And this? And this? And what about here? And this? Wonderful, she says. You've lost no feeling at all. She releases my right foot and lifts the left one and treats it as gently and respectfully as the first. I want to cry. I want to thank her, but I don't have the words. Years of the doctor turning away while I remove my shoe. Years of them glinting and trying not to touch my skin with their gloved hands. My still strong and sensitive feet made ugly. No one had ever treated my feet this way. It was a gift to be seen as a person who'd known joy and suffered pain. Not the automaton that doctors had poked and prodded. Doctors who never warned me before they hurt me. Who never even said this might hurt. Doctors who'd seen me at my most vulnerable and had no human look or touch or word they could spare me. I wanted to cry. This was a gift. As humble and great a gift as if she had washed my feet with her hair. This was a kind of grace, my feet in her hands. How gently she put my socks back on again. How she slipped my shoes back on. How she, too, saw the beauty of my simple feet.
Mm. And that was Irene Lara Silva reading the poem titled Grace from her new collection, Blood Sugar Canto. Irene, reading these poems out to audiences, and I know you travel quite a bit as well to reading different various audiences across the country. How has the response been to these poems?
It's really interesting. Part of it, I think, is that, you know, we are lacking poems. You know, not to say there aren't many collections out there about different experiences of illness, but we're still lacking poems that talk about the body and that integrate, you know, the whole self. Mm-hmm. Because I've had some people react very personally, very emotionally, and you know, with their own experiences, either with diabetes in their families or communities, their own experience of it, and sometimes even completely in other illnesses, chronic illnesses in general.
Right.
People who have not been served well by Western medicine and have, you know, stories and scars to speak to that experience, and then also, I'm very glad that the book was able to move towards hope and healing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, there's a lot of poems about suffering and about pain and about loss and about all of that. But you know, the whole point of the book was to move through fear and to move towards healing. And so, I'm very humbled and grateful for those who have been able to, you know, take some measure of comfort in it and get some hope, you know, from the book.
I mean, one of the jobs of the poet is, you know, to write in the silences and also in the margins and in those sort of quiet spaces. You know, we're observers and we write about these experiences. We kind of illuminate them or shed light on them. And, you know, obviously there are, you know, too many number of illnesses and too many number of injury and wounds that we, you know, an infinite number of these things. But but this is a very specific one here that you're talking about, diabetes. And yet, you know, it's kind of actually surprising to me now that I'm thinking about it, talking with you here, that there aren't more poems being written about this specific type of, you know, sort of illness. Because a lot of us, so many of us, I don't know what the statistics are, but so many of us I know have a family member or loved one or have dealt in some way or another with diabetes in our lives and around us. And, you know, as you're reading this poem about how the doctor's assistant is holding your feet with such sort of tenderness and humanity, it conjures images of me watching my own grandfather go through his process toward the end of his life, you know, and I tried to write about that experience as well in my first novel, Breathing in Dust, but I just didn't do it, I think, the kind of justice that your poems do it here, which is a real, well, because I don't myself, I don't have diabetes, or I don't have that experience directly with it, other than being an observer of my grandfather. But, you know, but you do it in such a way that I think is to me, it's just revealing an area that we don't write about enough, you know, so.
Well, and I feel that, you know, we're not writing about it enough, but also we're not talking about it enough. I mean, there's not enough discussions between, you know, people and their family members to really know, you know, what is this experience, or what do we need, or, you know, whether it's help on one end or information on the other. And then also, you know, society-wise, so, you know, across society, people and Latinos and poor people are made to feel ashamed for being sick.
Yeah.
So wherever there's shame, there's going to be silence, and there's going to be a lack of discussion and information and hope. You know, because if you're ashamed of it, or if you're made to think, oh, you know, you're almost like people are blamed for being diabetic. It's like, well, you're diabetic because, you know, in the way you deserve it, because you know you're overweight and you're poor and you don't do this and you don't do that and you don't do this. And so because of that blame and all of that shame, you know, that keeps us from speaking. That keeps us from, you know, from coming together. That's a shame.
No, absolutely. I agree. And I usually like to ask our guests this, so I'm going to ask you also, how did poetry first ever find you?
The first way it found me was in music. I grew up with rancheras and Mexicana Norteño kind of blasting all the time. So I've not told people before that for me, the first composer whose language really just wowed me was Cornelio Reyna. In particular, that song, Andamos Hilos de la Mente. I love that song. Then it was also, you know, música ranchera kicked in. When I went to school, I mostly spoke Spanish. Mm-hmm. And by the time I was in about fifth grade, I'd lost most of it and pretty much only spoke English.
Wow.
But that's also the year that I completely fell in love with música ranchera. Wow. And I started listening to Lucha Villa and Oliver Tran and José Alfredo Jiménez and Chente and all of them. And it made me want to start singing, and it made me just really appreciate the lyricism of the songs.
Well, you yourself are a singer.
I'm a singer whenever I can be, whenever anyone lets me.
Yeah.
Or there's any place where I won't get thrown out, I'll start singing.
We'll have to have you back on here just to sing songs for us, you know. But I've heard you sing, and, you know, and so it's really interesting to hear how music has also, you know, played a role in your early start as a poet, and kind of, you know, because your voice is a powerful voice in singing and also in reading as well. On that note, would you mind sharing one more poem with us from your collection?
I'm going to read the last one, which actually ties in perfectly to this conversation. Part of the reason I'm telling people that the book is called Blood Sugar Canto, you know, blood sugar, of course, is about the diabetes, but canto for me is about the healing. And it's, you know, how we get to the human and how we get to what I feel is the best whole expression of ourselves, whether singing is writing or singing is singing or singing is just being. So the last poem in the collection is called There Will Be Singing in the Morning. There will be singing in the morning and singing in the night, singing in the days of want and singing in the days of plenty, singing alone and singing with ghosts, singing old songs and singing new songs. We will remember songs we haven't heard yet, songs that haven't been dreamt yet, songs no one has found the words for, songs sung on the road and songs sung in bed, songs sung while weeping and songs sung while waiting, songs for breath and sun and light and moon and earth and water, songs for sustenance. We will sing impossible songs, indecipherable songs, songs that cannot be heard and songs that cannot be shared. We will sing songs without words, silent songs and screaming songs, songs that tremble and songs we can embrace. Song and I live in each other's skin. Song and I breathe each other's breath, take refuge in each other, passing silver firelight between each other's lips, hot and cold at once, naming and unnaming, freeing ourselves, taking wing, song and I spiraling on the sky. I would like to die singing. Let there be song in my throat, spilling out. Let my last breath be song.
Beautiful. And that was a poem by the award-winning poet Irene Lara Silva, whose latest collection of poetry is Blood Sugar Canto, out with Saddle Road Press. Be sure to pick that up. You will not be sorry, I assure you. Irene, thank you so much for being a guest on our show, and good luck with everything you have going on.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And for the beautiful blurb, I have to say, Tim wrote a beautiful blurb for the collection.
It was my pleasure. It really was. And I knew that as soon as I read the manuscript, I said, you know, I'm gonna definitely have to have her on the show to talk about this book because it's important. Thanks, Irene.
Gracias.